All praise to Saint Holy Spirit. Entitled Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 16. Nahi asya kari chedrajan, Uman Veda vidhikritam, Yad vijigyasaya yukta, Muyanti kavayo pihi, Nahi asya kari chedrajan. Uman Veda vidhitsitam Yad vidhigyasa yukta Muyanti kavayo pihi Nahi asya kari chidrajan Uman Veda vidhitsitam Yad vidhigyasa ya yukta Muyanti kavayo pihi Certainly. Asya, his, Karichit, whatsoever. Rajan, O king. Puman, anyone. Veda, knows. Vidhitsitam, plan. Yat, which. Vijigyasaya, with exhaustive inquiries. Yuktaha, being engaged. Muyanti, bewildered. Kavaya, great philosophers. Api, even. He, certainly. Translation by Swamigure Praise Srila Prabhupada. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord Shri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. purport. The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhishthir over his past sinful acts and the resultant sufferings, etc., is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhishthir that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The base policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore his own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. Bhishmadev was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of virtue, and he was glad to see King Yudhishthir on the throne, although he himself fought against him. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battle of Kurukshetra because the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. Bhishmadev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shulakaya Chakshurundamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangunangayate Girim Yatribaha Tamam Vande Shri Guru Dimitarina Mancha Kalpatru Vyasha Vasindu Vyavacha Vaditana Pavnamyo Vashmudyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So no one can know the plan of the Lord except for the pure devotees. And whoever is against the plan of the Lord is vanquished. So here in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that Bhishmadev, one of the Mahajans, one of the 12 Mahajans, is lying down on a bed of arrows. So we know how Arjuna, he shot arrows into Bhishmadev, and so many arrows were shot that it actually literally made a bed out of it. So, like at night, we lie down on the bed and go to sleep, take rest. So, in that way, Bhishmadev was lying on a bed of arrows. There were arrows piercing through his body. It's mentioned that you cannot even put a finger between two arrows. There were that many arrows piercing, which had pierced through his body. So, it was a very, you can imagine, a very painful situation. And he was lying down like that. And he had the mystic siddhi that he could quit his body when he desired to. So he was lying down and he was waiting for the opportune moment when he can quit his body. And when that opportune moment came, he decided to leave his body, and his object of meditation was Krishna. So he was thinking of Krishna as Partha Sarathi, and he wanted Krishna to be there at his deathbed. So then Krishna arranged that situation by covering Maharaj Yudhishthir, who was actually lamenting the loss of so many soldiers, in order to put him on the throne. So Krishna even covered Maharaj Yudhishthir from within as the super soul, that Maharaj Yudhishthir could not be convinced by anyone, whether Vyasadeva or the great sages or even Krishna himself. So then Krishna wanted Maharaj Yudhishthir to be convinced by Bhishmadev. So therefore, everyone went there. So in the previous verses, we saw how the Pandavas came in a very royal procession to see Bhishmadev, just to give him joy, because Bhishma always was always wanting the good of the Pandavas, because he knew the Pandavas were pure devotees, and he always he always wished in their favor. So therefore, the Pandavas and even Krishna was in Arjuna's chariot. They all came in a royal procession, and they came to see Bhishma Dev. So in the next section, we'll hear how Bhishma Dev glorifies his worshipful Lord Krishna, and then he gives instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir in how to conduct administration and different aspects of Sanatan Dharma. So it's interesting, here it's mentioned that no one can know the plan of the Lord. So the plan of the Lord is inconceivable. And even for Bhishma Dev, Krishna had a plan. As Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that the Lord had a plan for Bhishma Dev also. So we know Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. He's not just actually a pure devotee, but he's actually an authority in devotional service. So in the sixth canto, the 12 Mahajans are listed, and one of them is Bhishma Dev. So he's an acharya, he's a pure devotee, free from false ego. But surprisingly, he was on the side of adharma. So Bhishma Dev had taken the side of irreligion. Why? Because Duryodhan was irreligion personified. So it's quite surprising, and Bhishma Dev is criticized, even till today, he's criticized for taking the side of the Kauravas. If he's a pure devotee and a Mahajan, then why is he, you know, identifying with the cause of the Kauravas, you know, fighting with them, and even ready to surrender his life for the cause of irreligion? And this is very, very bewildering to understand for people. People in general, it's very difficult to understand why Bhishma Dev was acting in a certain way. And Duryodhan was actually offense personified. So when Dhritarashtra, he invited Vidura to give him counsel, then Vidura told Dhritarashtra that basically, you know, you should give the kingdom to Maharaj Yudhishthir because he's the one who's supposed to be the king. You have unlawfully usurped it. And he also said that you are maintaining offense personified, who is Duryodhan. So Vidura told Dhritarashtra that you are maintaining offense personified. And he's not only does he commit offenses, but he's envious of the Supreme Lord. So Duryodhan was very envious. And we know how so many offenses he committed. So he tried to burn the Pandavas, burn them alive in the house of Lak. He tried to poison Bhima. Bhima was poisoned. A poisonous cake was given to him. He ate it. Then he was unconscious and he was thrown in the Ganges. So in this way we see the Pandavas were. Duryodhan tried to eliminate the Pandavas in various ways, and he was actually committing offenses. So one of the offenses, the first offense to the chanting of the holy names is Sadhu Ninda or Vaishnava Prad, in which the devotees are criticized or they're put down. So Duryodhan was doing that. So and he was even envious of Krishna. So not only was he envious of the devotees and offensive to them, but he was even very envious of Krishna. He could not accept Krishna's supremacy. And therefore Vidura said that, you told Dhritarashtra that all your good qualities will be vanquished because you're maintaining offense personified, and he's envious of Krishna. So if someone is envious of devotees, all their good qualities are vanquished. It's just a matter of time. No matter what good qualities we have, in the eyes of Krishna, if we think very negatively about some devotee, so of course offenses are expressed in the mind through words and through activities. So in Kali Yuga, offenses in the mind don't count, but they count by your words and by your activities. So Duryodhan was doing all three. He was committing offenses in his mind because all the time he was thinking, how I can get rid of the Pandavas. And then he was committing offenses by his words. He even spoke very negatively with Vidura, who was a pure devotee. And he was... Can I get some tissue, please? And he was... he even tried to kill the Pandavas. So it's interesting, in the Harinam Chintamani, it's mentioned that the cause of Sadhu Ninda or Vaishnava Prad is mentioned. So the cause of that is, as is even mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Asat Sangthyag E Vaishnavachar Sri Sangi Eka Abhakta Krishna Bhakta R. That Vaishnava Prad is called by, is caused by Asat Sang or by association with materialistic people. And there are two types. Those who are attached to women, or people who are attached to women, or for women is the opposite, men. And those who are attached to associating with non-devotees. So those non-devotees are again of three types. They are the Mayavadis. Thank you. So those non-devotees are the Mayavadis, those who do not accept the form of the Lord as transcendental, and those who don't accept the living entity as spirit soul, or who equate Krishna and the living entity, or they consider the form of the Lord as material, as separate. And there are those who are pretending to be spiritual. So they are in the guise of spiritualists, but they are addicted to all kinds of abominable activities. And then there are those who are just outright atheists. So association with any of these four categories of people gives rise to the first offense in the chanting of the holy name, which is Vaishnava Prada. So we have to be very careful who we are associating with, and that can give rise to such offenses. So then it's quite puzzling, why was Bhishma Dev associating with Duryodhana? Because he's definitely a Mayavadi. And so why is he associating with him? And he's identifying with this cause and he's propagating his cause. So as this Prabhupada mentioned in the purpose, the external reason why Bhishma Dev was on the side of the Kauravas was out of social and political circumstances. So because Duryodhan was maintaining Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev was being maintained by them. His whole life he was looked after by him. He was given a position. So he didn't want to bite the hand which fed him. So that's one external reason why Bhishma was on the side of the Kauravas. So he was saying, you know, not to bite the hand which feeds you. So, thank you, Prabhu. So Bhishma Dev, therefore, he fought on the side of the Kauravas. But that's not the only reason why he was on the side of the Kauravas. Because even we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that you give up all social and political reasons to not fight the war. You just fight for me. Because I'm telling you, you fight. That's my order and that's the highest order. So Bhishma was also a pure devotee. He knew that he could have easily rejected the social and political circumstances, because Arjuna rejected them and Arjuna was told by Krishna to reject them. So the reason Bhishma was, the internal reason for his being on the side of the Kauravas, because it was actually the will of the Lord. The Lord wanted Bhishma to be on the opposing side so that he can have a fight with him, because their rasa is of chivalry. So the way Bhishma serves Krishna is by actually fighting with him. And when we see when Narayan, he wanted to have a fight, so he chose Jai and Vijay, his pure devotees, to take the role of enemies, so he can have a fight with them. So even when Krishna comes down to the material world, and he has this, because Krishna has this propensity to fight, like sometimes we also feel like fighting or having a wrestling match. So even Krishna has this propensity. But if he has to fight, then he has to fight with devotees. In the spiritual world, he can't fight with anyone. because there's no one is his enemy. So he has to put a devotee in the role of an enemy so he can have a fight with him. So therefore, the pastime of Jaya and Vijay was arranged so that they could be cursed. Then they come down to the material world and then they have a fight with the Lord. So as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, like that, they actually gave the Lord pleasure by fighting. So that was one reason why Bhishma Dev took the side of the Kauravas, so he could fight with the Lord. So though it seems that he is the enemy of the Lord, but actually he is not. And even we see the definition of pure devotional service, Anya Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anartham Krishnanu Anukulena Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. That the definition of pure devotional service is that such activity has to be rendered towards Krishna. It has to be an active engagement, has to be an active service, and also it has to be executed with a favorable intent. So Bhishma Dev's fighting with Krishna and the Pandavas was actually with a favorable intent. It wasn't with an unfavorable intention. Like Hiranyaksha and them fighting Kamsa, they were also thinking about the Lord. They were also rendering service to the Lord, but it was done, though it was pleasing to the Lord, but it was done with an unfavorable intent. Therefore, that could not be counted as bhakti. So, but the Bhishma Dev's fighting with Krishna is to actually with a favorable intention to give him pleasure. Therefore, it's counted as bhakti. So this was the internal reason why Bhishma Dev took the side of the Kauravas. And another reason why Bhishma Dev took the side of the Kauravas was to basically show the world that no matter who you are, even if you are a pure devotee, a very exalted devotee, if you take the side of, if you are on the, if you oppose the plan of the Lord, you are finished. So that's the second reason, second internal reason why Bhishma Dev took the side of the Kauravas. So even, because we know Bhishma Dev's qualifications, he was the son of Ganga Devi. And not only that, he was educated by Brihaspati. It's like the priest of the demigods, the spiritual master of the demigods. He was educated by him. And he was trained in military art by Parshuram, the incarnation of the Lord. So this is a very exalted personality, and Parshuram defeated the Kshatriyas 21 times. So he was trained by such a personality and even fought with Parshuram. Because once Parshuram told him, you should accept a wife, and he said, no, I won't. Then Parshuram said, okay, then let's fight. And then there was a big fight. And because he was trained by the Lord, it was actually a draw. No one was winning. And then Bhishma Dev voluntarily accepted defeat. He said, okay, I accept defeat. So this is Bhishma Dev. He's a very great personality. And he's showing that no matter how great you are, even if you're a pure devotee, if you take the side of vice and you're against virtue, you cannot come out victorious. So we see Bhishma Dev was actually a pure devotee. And he didn't even care what people would say about him. So Bhishma Dev was free from false ego, a pure devotee, fully surrendered. And he didn't care, you know, from that all time to come, people are going to criticize me because I took the wrong side. Even till today we can see, especially in India, there's a lot of misunderstanding. When it comes to Mahabharata, there's a lot of misunderstanding. People can't understand why Krishna picked up the wheel, why Bhishma Dev took the side of the Kauravas. So he was willing to be criticized and he was willing to put his reputation at stake. He was willing to be misunderstood. So just for the service of the Lord, he was ready to put aside all these things. So we can see how reputation is very dear to a Kshatriya. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that infamy is worse than death. So to a Kshatriya, if he is insulted, if his reputation is foiled, that is actually worse than dying. Not only to a Kshatriya, but even to an ordinary person, their reputation is very important. Like we see it's in the politics these days. One of the members of parliament, Craig Thompson, now he has stepped down, but he's basically trying to defend his reputation. So he's been framed that he has offended the... which union is it? Anyway, some union. He has spent, he has squandered their $500,000, and he was... There's an allegation against him that he was caught with the... He spent that money on escort services. So that when he made a speech in the parliament that I'm actually innocent, that I didn't squander the union's money, and I wasn't there with the escorts, with the prostitutes. And it's interesting, even one of the prostitutes came forward and said that actually he had sex with me. And now she says, no, that actually he didn't, because I checked my passport. She's saying, I was actually in New York. So that can't be right. So in this way, and he's saying, look, you know, I'm innocent. So basically what he's saying is, my reputation, don't spoil my reputation. And I'm actually innocent. So the reputation is very important to a person. So these certain things, profit, adoration, distinction or reputation, is very dear to one. If someone says something against us, especially in front of others, immediately we try to defend ourselves. That's how our false ego comes out. So because our reputation is at stake. So Bhishma Dev, he was not at all concerned about his reputation, how he would be misunderstood. Because the Lord willed it, and therefore he went on the opposing side. So Krishna actually showed the world the extreme example of Bhishma Dev. And then we see the plan of the Lord for the Pandavas. So as we understand from this section, the plan of the Lord for the Pandavas was that Krishna wanted to establish the Pandavas as the rulers of the kingdom, which happened to be the entire planet. So therefore this entire battle of Kurukshetra was fought to establish them as the king, as the rulers of the planet. And as we'll hear tomorrow in the next verse, that Bhishma Dev is telling the Pandavas that just accept this as the will of the Lord. Because he wanted the Pandavas to rule over the world and carry out the function of administration. Because the Lord always wants pure devotees to rule the world, because they can actually execute the function of the Lord. So the function of the Lord is to make everyone Krishna conscious. So actually the plan of the Lord is very simple. But if we are not devotees, we can never understand the plan of the Lord. So the plan of the Lord is that everyone become Krishna conscious and render service unto Him. So that's the plan of the Lord for the jivas, whether in the spiritual world and or the material world. So in the spiritual world, all the living entities are rendering service to the Lord out of spontaneous affection. But in the material world, all the living entities have forgotten this service of the Lord. So the ultimate plan of the Lord is to make everyone Krishna conscious. And to do that, your leadership also needs to be spiritual, Krishna conscious. So therefore, the plan of the Lord for the Pandavas was to establish them as the king of the world. So we see even the Pandavas, they went through so much tribulations. They were exiled, their prestige was destroyed, they lost the gambling match unfairly. Their wife was tried to be stripped naked, and in this way, they were harassed in so many ways. But the Pandavas, they saw that as the plan of the Lord. So the Pandavas didn't protest. They saw that as Krishna's arrangement. And they just kept going. So we see even Krishna has his own plans for enjoyment. So in the spiritual world, Krishna is enjoying. And even when he comes down to the material world, Krishna is enjoying. So we see Krishna's plans of Krishna's enjoyment is quite different to our enjoyment. So Krishna simply has to desire, and then by his potencies, all his plans are fulfilled. Whereas with us, it's not like that. If we want to enjoy, then we have to work very hard. So when Krishna was standing on the banks of the Yamuna, he was playing. When he desired to enjoy with the gopis, when he desired to enjoy a rasa dance, simply by his desiring, Krishna desired, and his energies actually facilitated his enjoyment. So when Krishna desired, the moon actually rose. The full moon rose. And it set a red horizon. And the sky looked red. So that actually even increased Krishna's desire to enjoy. So we see how Krishna's energies, they actually facilitate his enjoyment. And then a very cool and favorable breeze was blowing. And there were also fragrant flowers with a very cooling and festive environment, atmosphere. So all these things actually increased Krishna's desire for enjoyment. And then when Krishna played on his flute, all the gopis, they left all their various engagements and they ran towards Krishna. And because of this atmosphere created, even their desire to enjoy with Krishna also increased. And also we see in the pastime of when Krishna killed Dhenukasura, Krishna was walking in the forest, and he desired to enjoy, and this the Vrindavan forest created that atmosphere for him to enjoy. So we see how by Krishna's various potencies, everything is enacted. Krishna doesn't have to work hard. He simply wills and everything happens. So even when Krishna wills, the entire material world is created. So by Krishna's will, the entire material world is created, it is maintained, and then it is annihilated. So all of this is happening by Krishna's will. So Krishna is also called Bhagavan Api, which means he actually has no desire to be fulfilled. So Krishna has no desire to be fulfilled, but Krishna acts to fulfill the desires of his devotees. So Krishna wanted to engage in the rasa dance to fulfill the desires of the gopis who wanted to accept Krishna as their husband. So then if you look at our plans for enjoyment, so we are also planning. So we are also making plans. From the time of birth till we die, we are also making various plans for enjoyment. So you can see even a child is making plans for enjoyment. They're planning how they can get the attention of their mother and people around them. And then when we grow up, then we make plans to enjoy by playing. So when we are kids, we want to play sports or play with toys. In the different ways we come up with plans. So this plan making propensity is there within us because we are part and parcel of Krishna. So we also have this plan making propensity. So but our plans have to be dovetailed with Krishna. If they're not dovetailed with Krishna, then material nature is going to smash our plans. And we see there's so much endeavor required to fulfill our plans. So like everyone, it's called mogasha. Everyone has hopes for enjoyment. Mogasha, moga karma, no? So everyone has these hopes for material enjoyment. So like it's actually mentioned that the happiness in the material world is only in the plan-making stage. So that's how embarrassing it is. So the happiness is only in the plan-making stage. So everyone is planning, if I get such and such degree, or if I get such and such career, I'll be very happy. Or if I get such and such partner or wife, then I'll be very happy. And if I get such and such mortgage, if I get a house, and then I'll be all set. My plans for material enjoyment are all set. I have a job, I have a wife or kids, and I have a job, so everything is set, I have a house. But actually it doesn't work like that. That's the trick of material nature. It makes us plan, makes us hope. So in the material world, for the conditioned souls, their plans have nothing to do with Krishna's plans. So in the material world, in fact, the plans of the living entities are opposed to Krishna's plans. So it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Namam Dushkitano Mura. Dushkitana means someone who has misapplied his intelligence. So we see this plan making is going on an individual level and even on a collective level. So that's why we have a government, a parliament, there the ministers are sitting and passing laws and bills. In other words, they're just making plans for sense gratification. So we see how even we have these planning commissions, the government employs planning commissions to make, they have 5-year plans, 10-year plans. So even individuals have that, even governments have their plans. But when the plans are not in line with Krishna's plan, all these plans are smashed to dust. That's the way how material nature is constituted. So, but when the conditioned soul, they see the world as meant for their enjoyment. So a conditioned living entity, when they look at the world, when they view the world, they see it as, this is meant for me. It's meant, the resources are meant for my enjoyment. Maybe not all of them, but at least some of them. So in that way, that is our conditioned vision. That's how we view the world. And then we go about living our life in that manner. So from an individual to collective level, governments, they're planning how they can provide sense gratification to people, and that way they can achieve peace. But whether it is social plans or economic plans or political plans or even educational plans, they all are frustrated. So like we see these days, so many teachers, they went on strike, I think yesterday, and so their plans for enjoyment were not fulfilled. The government had promised them that we're going to make the education sector as the highest paid sector in Australia. The teachers will be very highly paid. But that didn't happen. So they all are frustrated, and then they're going to the parliament in Melbourne, and then they're protesting. So in that way, the plans, the material nature frustrates the plans of living entity, of living entities. And that's what causes all the frustration. So that happiness is only there in the plan making stage. So we can see even when we are planning for something, even if we get it, we are still not happy. Then we are planning, okay, I've got this. Now the next level is up to get to there. If I've got such and such job, now the next is to go higher. Or if I want my PR, if I get my PR, still we are not satisfied. So material plans don't lead to satisfaction, even if we get what we want. Most of the time we don't get what we want, and it's a real struggle to get what we want. But even if we do get it, it doesn't lead to satisfaction. So our plan-making propensity has to be dovetailed by satisfying the plans of the Lord. If not, it's frustrated. As Krishna says in the Gita, Mogasha Moga Karmano Moga Jnana Vichetasa Rakshasi Masurim Chayava Prakritim Mohinim Ashritaha. So Krishna says that those who have demoniac and atheistic view, so atheistic view means there's no God, and demoniac view means, okay, even if there is God, I don't accept the scripture, I don't accept any authority, I don't accept devotees as authority or guidance, and I don't accept any scripture, I'm going to live my life independently of scripture. So that is a demoniac view. Those who have such views, Moghasha, all their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, in other words, sense enjoyment, and the culture of knowledge are all defeated. So we have to line our plans with the plans of the Lord. So in other words, as devotees, we have to learn to see Krishna's hand in our life. So like the Pandavas and Bhishmadev wasn't complaining, you know, I'm a Mahajan and see what happened to me. I ended up lying on a bed of arrows. I'm a Mahajan. This is what you get for being a Mahajan. You get shot. So many arrows that you can't even put a finger in between. So Bhishmadev was not criticizing the Lord. But generally in the material world, if something bad happens to us, we always blaming someone. We always blaming someone for causing that situation. So but as that there's that prayer in the 10th canto, Tabbe Nukampam Su Samikshamano Bhunjana Evatma Krita Vipakam. The fonts went wrong, so I can't read it. You can recite the prayer. Thank you. So it said that, my dear Lord, one who honestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So that's the mood of a devotee. That in their life they are seeing the hand of the Lord in whatever circumstance they are in. But if we are not Krishna conscious, we cannot see the plan of the Lord. So for most people, that's why we see, most people cannot understand Krishna's Leela. Krishna is most misunderstood in the world. It's very widely misunderstood. Why was Krishna dancing with the gopis? You know, Krishna is just is a debauchee, that's what people say. Krishna was a thief. So it's impossible to understand Krishna's Leelas. So as is mentioned in this verse that even the sages cannot understand the Lord's plans. But these days people don't even accept a God, let alone accepting the plan, figuring out the plan of the Lord. So unless we are in touch with Srila Prabhupada's books and devotees, we cannot even understand who God is, let alone having a plan. So that's why most people say, oh, the world, okay, the world is meant for my enjoyment. Till we became a devotee, we also didn't understand that the purpose of this world is to actually serve Krishna, is to be Krishna conscious. So we also saw the world as meant for our enjoyment. So unless we come in touch with devotees, it is impossible to know the plan of the Lord. And as also Krishna says in the Gita, Name Vidu Suragana Prabhavam Na Maharshaya Aham Adiri Devana Maharshi Nam Prasarvasha. Neither the host of demigods nor the sages who are very renounced, they can understand the Lord. Because Krishna is our cause, he's our origin. Like we cannot fully know our father, even our material father, because he's a cause. We don't know what he has done in the past. So similarly, because Krishna is our origin, we cannot fully know him. So even if we are a pure devotee, we cannot know the Lord fully. You can know the glories of the Lord to a certain extent. It's not possible to know the Lord fully. But the difference is, the pure devotees, they abide by the order of Krishna. So for us, that means accepting a bona fide spiritual master and aligning our plans with our spiritual master's plans. So even in bhakti, even in devotional service, we still have this propensity of making our own plans. We tend to make our own plans how we will serve Krishna. So but sadhana bhakti means we have to put aside our plans, and sometimes our spiritual master's plans are diametrically opposed to our plans, and that can be very painful. So we have to embrace the plan of our spiritual master, what he has for us, for our purification. So for someone it could be traveling the world and, you know, doing Harinam Sankirtan. That's desired by their spiritual master. For someone else it could be, you know, living in a temple. For someone else it could be being in a certain situation, doing a particular service. So the spiritual master gives the service according to the propensity of the disciple. So we have to accept that and not try to accept someone else's service. That's what we want to do. So if we do that, then we accept the plan of the Lord. So are there any questions or comments? for me. How to serve in an how could he serve in an unfavorable way? Because the Lord wanted to have a fight, his hands were itchy. So then he chose Jai and Vijay to become his opponents. He put them in bodies of demons. So they were rendering service to the Lord because that's what he wanted. But they were not rendering to the service to the Lord in a favorable way, because they were covered over so much that they were thinking that Vishnu is my enemy and I have to kill him. That was their mentality. They could not accept the supremacy of the Lord. So therefore it was unfavorable. Yeah, but generally it's hard to find those examples. You have to be, they were quite Krishna conscious. Because 24/7 they were just thinking of the Lord. But for us to be unfavorable is very difficult. Or we could also render some service, but not. We could also render service in a grudging mood. That could also be unfavorable. Yes. Sharing with us the other reason why Bhishma was in that sense.
I really appreciate those really good way.
Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Asatsanga is associating with materialistic people or those who are attached to women. With women or those who are attached to women. So for women it's the opposite. And those who are atheists, those who are Mayavadis, and those who are pretenders. You know, they're making a show of spiritual life, but they are, internally they are, they're demons. So there's plenty of those around, all these four classes in the world. You have to be careful.
You said that, one of those was divided into another four?
So the first one is, Stri Sangi, as is mentioned. Stri Sangi, then Eka Asadu. Eka Asadu means the non-devotees. So these non-devotees are divided into three. Pretenders, atheists and Mayavadis. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. we can climb.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the hypothesis. Emotional self is implant. But it is like, for example, I think drive for a long time. So, the power cannot be moved.
Yeah.
Similarly, the framework of human biology, right? Framework of human biology, this is your self. This is how you decide. Within that, you have to be how to do that. Within that, you need to that you can do as long as your bhakti is getting covered. If your bhakti is getting covered, there's no time to associate with the body in the chance. That means you can run an overhead. Yeah, those things are okay. But generally,